What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 398, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and keeps the podcast on rolling. With me is my co-host, who's wearing his championship shirt again.
Well, this is did I wear it last week?
You wore it the week
before. Maybe I did wear it. Sorry, I'm wearing it again. My other one, my this year's shirt came in like yesterday, I think, and I haven't gotten it washed. Okay. So, sorry.
I say they have to three-peat. They have to do it.
That'd be amazing.
It'd be awesome. Nobody's done that, right?
No, nobody's ever done it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have to do it, and that would at least put Mahomes in the GOAT category with Brady.
Sure.
Yeah, but we'll see. But that's obviously a long time off. But if they do for the third time, like, you have to go to the Super Bowl, I feel like you have to go.
Yeah, right.
You got to go.
I got to start saving.
Yeah, start saving now.
I got to start saving last year.
Yeah. Where's the Super Bowl going to be at? Do you even know?
I don't know. New Orleans.
New Orleans.
I've been to the Mercedes, the Superdome or whatever it's
called. Is your light not on?
Oh, which one? Okay. On this side?
I don't know. You just don't.
Do you want it brighter?
I don't.
It was maybe because I went to like a page.
Yeah. Like right there, you're dark.
You're dark there.
Yeah. Not that I don't know how many people are looking at our faces in this podcast, but. I've been so busy with reviews. We haven't posted a ton of news on the website or anything. I'm just working on, we have launches. So many launches coming up. Actually, kind of the end of the launches, but I still have a lot of products and a lot of really cool projects that we're doing, too. We're doing some builds. We're doing some other stuff. So I've just been super busy. But it feels good to be back podcasting. Also, I'm super excited to game tonight.
Okay.
We'll talk about gaming towards the end because there's some stuff I want to talk about when it comes to gaming as well. But if you guys do want to follow along, we do have a show notes page that does have everything that we're going to be talking about this week. All of the reviews, all the articles, it's all right here so you can go through. Or if you are listening later, or if you're listening on audio, you're like, oh, I want to see what that product's about, or I want to see, what that review is. It's all right here in our show notes so you can click through and get all of the information. Now, we're going to start out here with a really fun review. Actually, no, we'll start out with the graphics card before we do the other one. So we'll start out with graphics card. I finally got my hands on a RTX 4070 Ti Super. So we had the refresh. We saw the refresh at CES, but I finally got one into test. It's Gigabyte's Gaming OC version. This is kind of the middle of the road for Gigabyte when it comes to their sort of product stack. Of course, you have the higher end Aorus cards. And then in the Gigabyte line, I forget which one's below the gaming OC, but this sort of sits in the middle. And for those who don't know, the 4070 Ti Super, like I said, it is the refresh. It's actually based on the same GPU as the 4080, but of course it's cut down. But the real big upgrade that you are going to get beyond more cores is that you move from 12 gigabytes that was on the original 4070 Ti to 16 gigabytes. So all that stuff you want to do with 16 gigabytes, whether it's, gaming related or even AI related, you can kind of do it with this card, which is nice. And of course, having more memory, and it used to be 8 gigabytes. People were like, that's not enough. That's not enough. And now people are like, 12 is not enough. It's not enough. So this gets you 16 gigabytes of VRAM. So you can't argue that you don't have enough VRAM on this one. So the Gaming OC from Gigabyte, like I said, it is their kind of middle of the road. On first glance, it doesn't necessarily stand out. It looks like sort of that normal graphics card, I'd say. It kind of just has a black shroud, triple fan cooling solution. This is their wind force cooling solution. And pretty thick, not incredibly thick, but definitely over two slots. Dual heat sinks here, which you can kind of see here, and they are connected by heat pipe. Great cooling on this card, actually. And of course, you're going to get the 12VH PWR power connection on the side. You do get a full coverage metal backplate, and it is pass through, which is nice as well. And then you do get a little switch here on the side that allows you to switch between OC and silent mode. By default, the card is on a OC mode, and that's just to do with the fan curve. That has nothing to do with like power or overclocking or anything. Just your fan curve. So that's pretty much the card on like your first glance. Standard connections, 3 DisplayPort, 1 HDMI. You can see the height of the card just a little bit taller, about 2.7 slot. I wouldn't say it's 3, but close to 3. You'll probably need 3 available. Now, if you turn on the card, we do get some lighting. And the cool thing about this lighting is that, you know, with all of these new graphics cards, when your card is idle, the fans spin down or they turn off, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with this card, the RGB lighting is embedded within the fans, but it only turns on when the fans spin up. So it's not constantly on. But it does look really cool. And like the way they have this, it's sort of like the RGB lighting comes from the center of the fan and it pushes out into this outer ring. So it's not as bright. It's kind of hard to explain. You kind of just have to see it in person, but I would say the RGB lighting is pretty cool. And it's definitely different from what you're used to seeing. And obviously when your fans like spin up or spin down, like, the slower the fan gets, the less RGB that you get. So it's kind of cool the way that they have it set up. I think it looks really good. You also get like RGB on the Gigabyte logo on the side there as well. So again, like when your system's idle, you don't have any RGB, but when you're gaming or you're doing something GPU intensive, you're going to get some RGB. Now, if you want RGB all the time, you can just set the fan curve to always be on if you wanted to as well. And they have like their Gigabyte software. This is my first time really using the Gigabyte Control Center for a graphics card. You don't really get all that much control. You do get like fan control, performance control, and RGB lighting control. So, you know, you can set your own fan curves. You can kind of do all of that. You can also go in and set your power limits and your clocks and see everything in real time. So the software is okay. But it's definitely much better than like their previous software, I'd say. So nice to see that. Now, when it comes to performance, we'll go to all the way to the end, just to kind of see where this sits at, like when it comes to gaming specifically. So this is really going to be a 1440p or 4K card. Like we test 7 games. Our average FPS across those 7 games in 1440p with like everything maxed out is going to be around 144.6 FPS. And again, nice. It's all going to be dependent on title, but this is a card that can easily push a 144 hertz 1440p display. Definitely can go ahead and do that. Now, if we look at our 4K performance, we can see we're over 60 FPS, average of 80.56 FPS there. So again, you can easily push 4K titles with this. Now, depending on the title, if you wanted more FPS, obviously you can turn certain things down, but this is easily going to be a, you know, 1440p or 4K card. Even at 1080p, you will likely get throttled by your CPU unless you are using like a 14900K or something like that. You know what I mean? So that's something that you just need to consider. But I think this is a card that you're buying for 1440p or 4K. The only thing about this card is that the fans were slightly louder than other cards that we've tested. If we look at our noise levels here.
Do you happen to know what size they are?
Oh, that's the wrong graph. They're 90 millimeter fans.
Okay.
This is not the right graph. That's interesting. Well,
whoops.
Yeah, it's like way down here. It's towards the bottom. This is the graph from our Asus review, so I'll need to write a note to fix that. But yeah, it is a bit louder in gaming situations. Now, again, the fans turn off during idle, so it's not like something that you're going to deal with all of the time. And again, it's not like a, it doesn't sound like a AMD Wraith stock cooler. It doesn't sound like that.
A blower style cooler.
Yeah, but it is louder than some of the other cards that we've tested. So just keep that in mind. But overall, I like the card. I think that this card does give you a little bit better performance than you got, like comparing the 4080 and the 4080 Super. That was like 5% difference overall. This actually gives you, what did we say here? 7% better performance at 1440p and 12.5% better performance at 4K. So a little bit better performance. And again, this is made to replace the current 4070 Ti. So it's right. It's a replacement. And as far as pricing goes, the MSRP of the 4070 Ti Super is $799. This is going to be $849. So with that extra $49, custom cooling solution, RGB lighting, you are getting a slight overclock. I think the overclock is only like 1.7%. So it's nothing crazy, but you do get that slight overclock as well. So I think it's priced fine for what it is. I just gave it a 9 out of 10. Like I said, the card is just a bit loud during load situations, but overall a solid card. And if it's, you know, if that's kind of the style that you like, it's a good card. It's kind of hard to find though. There's still like that, even though we're a couple weeks from the act, like since the actual launch,
right,
there's some models of super cards have been hard to find. So just keep that in mind. But you can find them. And like I said, it's a solid card overall. So definitely check out my review there in the chat. We have my buddy Corey. Good to see you here as well. Hopefully you're staying warm in PA. And we have old Peeps. Peeps is in the house as well. You guys should check out his stuff. I should link it. I'll retweet some of his stuff on social. But he has some good streams here as well. So, but yeah, the next thing was actually something I was really excited to review. We got a sneak peek of it at CES back in January. Finally got my hands on it. And it's kind of like nostalgic for me because basically the case before this was a case that I ran for years. It was my main PC. So I kind of have a lot of affection for it. It was a case that I chose to use it. Like when I choose a case for my main PC, like I want it to be something that's functional, something that I really like, something I like to look at. So the case I'm talking about is Corsair's Crystal Series 680X. We have a whole article video on my sort of upgrade path to that case when I did it. That case came out in 2019, and that was like one of the first cases. Nobody remembers this, but you know, we have all of these Lee & Lee O11 Dynamics. We have all of these awesome cases that are dual compartment cases to really show off your components. But Corsair 680X was like one of the first ones. It was not a lot of people were doing stuff like that. Like, wait, because you remember your power supply used to be at the bottom of the case.
Top
or bottom, and it was all in one. There was no back compartment, essentially. Like the back was just made to route your cables, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I chose that case, one, because it I could show off my PC build, and I had like all Corsair components. I had the Dominator Platinum memory. Yeah. I had RGB fans. I had the Corsair AIO that had, it was like one of the first Corsair AIOs that had RGB lighting on it too. So it was like,
did you have any light strips in there? I don't remember.
Let me see if I can find the article so I can.
Just you did a whole like article about like your new build, right? I remember that coming out. So
yeah, let me.
But yeah, that case is like pretty iconic for that time period.
It was like people don't,
prior to the O11 Dynamic, right? Like,
yeah,
that was one of the cases that everybody had. And of course, you know, there's like the Fantex, of one of the Evolve cases, maybe, that was kind of like a real popular one. But anyhow,
yeah, so like this is what my case looked like. Like it was a pretty decked out system. Yeah. In there, you know what I mean? The only thing that didn't have, well, I guess on the sides, but like my fans on my graphics card at the time didn't have RGB lighting. But
and you even had RGB on your NVMe drive.
Yeah, it was that was the first drive that Patriot. Had it too. That was the Patriot Viper drive was the first one of the first drives that had RGB lighting. So I was like, I was ahead of the curve on the RGB lighting at the time. But anyways, I used this system for forever. And this was one of, like, they had this case, and then they had a 280X, which was a, I don't know if it was mini or micro ATX. I forget, but it was
a smaller micro ATX.
It was a smaller version. And they were so popular for the time. I mean, they were, and then it just had been so long since Corsair put out a dual compartment cases. And again, think about like the past, like 2 years, like that's pretty much like the cases that everybody was using. O11 Dynamic, some of the other dual compartment cases that we've seen, like that's what people are using it. Cause again, they just make sense. They allow you to show off your build.
The height case. Yeah.
Yeah. The height, like the height Y60, the Y40, you know, so Corsair hadn't come out with a dual compartment case in what seemed like forever. And it kind of was like, because Corsair would like announce new cases and I would see it and I'd be like, okay, like where's, you know, where's the big competitor to these other cases that are now the iconic case, right? So where's the competition? So we were at CES and Corsair did show us their new dual compartment case, and it was pretty nice. And they've done a lot of things that a lot of companies, I wouldn't say a lot of things, but it's definitely a successor to the 680X in a lot of ways. It has a lot of functionality. And we just did a review on it, and it's called the 6500D Airflow. There are a couple different versions of the case, which I will go over. But the one that we took a look at is the high airflow version. So if you're real concerned about performance, this is the one that you would want to get. So this is the case. It's quite big. We have a full video on our YouTube channel as well. So if you want to check that out instead of listening to me talk about it, I have a full video on the YouTube channel. But basically, there's essentially two cases and then one variation of the case that is going to be launched. So we have the airflow version, which is right here. As you can see, mesh front panel in and cooling bracket in the front. So that's the 680, or I keep on saying it, that's the 6500D airflow. And then this version over here, which is the glass panel, that is just going to be the 6500X. And that's, again, both cases will be available, white and black, you can pick. And then there's a 680X RGB that will ship
6500.
Yes, sorry. I even said that in my video too. I kept messing up. So there's a 6500X RGB that will, like I said, which is the glass version, that will come with three fans and their IQ Link Hub all together. So those are the three versions. And then you will also be able to buy these external panels that come in five different variations if you wanted to. They're obviously not included, but if you wanted to, you can buy, these are called their Elite Panel Kits, and you can go ahead and, you know, if you wanted the like a wood look or something else, you can add those if you wanted to. That's kind of cool, I think. I wouldn't say the execution of that is as good as, say, like a Fractal North or something like that. But if you wanted to add some customization, you have those as well. And another really cool thing that's really awesome, especially if you're installing fans in this case, is that it comes with their new quick turn screws. If you're a PC builder, one of the biggest pains ever, and I know Ryan knows this as well, is that if you are installing more than two fans in a case, the screwing in each fan individually with the included fan screws that everybody knows, it's just such a pain, and they're hard to screw in, and you got to turn like two or three times at least to get it all the way in there. These new quick turn screws are 1.5 turns, and they go in and out so easily. It's really hard to explain. It's like wild. It feels like somebody's helping you. Like somebody's helping you either screw it in or take it out. So yeah, these make things so much easier, and they help so much because when I was doing my install in this case, I accidentally installed my fans the wrong way, but like they were where the connection was on the wrong side. for the fans. So I had to install three fans, then take three fans out, then put them back on. So it was awesome that the case comes with these screws. Now, Corsair will be selling these screws separately as well. So if you wanted to get these screws for your build, you can definitely go ahead and do that. But yeah, so that's one of the cool things. Now, I have the white version of the case. One thing I noticed right away about this case is that it's heavy. It's a heavy case. That's because there's like hardly any plastic on this case. Like these front panels were typically on a lot of cases, it's plastic, or the right. top panel, which you see, it's all metal. Even these feet right here are all metal. Everything's metal. There's only a little bit of plastic on this case, which I will show you, but all metal, which again, just speaks to the quality of this case. You can see we have mesh in the front and we have a full pullout filter on the bottom. The front actually easily you just pull it off, comes off really easily. And there is a fine mesh filter built into the front panel. So you can kind of see it. It's in between the actual mesh of the panel and it's a fine filter. So that's going to stop particles and things like that from going into your system, which is good. And then we have this cooling bracket. This is going to support 3120 or 3140 millimeter fans, as well as radiators up to 360 millimeters. Now, for some reason, if you wanted to, you have this going for a while and you're like, oh, I want the glass version now. They will sell a conversion kit that you can convert this.
That's good.
With the front glass panel if you wanted to. So that's pretty cool there. The top of the case, again, same thing, ventilated panel. Now, this ventilated panel does not have that mesh in the top because you want the airflow going out of your system. So the mesh does stop some airflow. So you know, and you're not having particles going in. Typically, top of your case is not going to be an intake. So right. You don't have the mesh there. But again, there's a little tab at the back, it looks pretty cool. You have a little tab that helps you pull it off. And again, same thing, 3120s or 140s and radiators up to 360 millimeters. You do have all of your connections over here. These are all, this is USB 3.2 Gen 2. These are all USB 3.2 Gen, these are all Gen 2s. So lots of connectivity. And you can see Corsair is doing this thing with their all their ports now are going to be yellow. So that's kind of a thing that they're doing on their cases as well. So, but again, this top panel, this accent panel is steel as well. So it's really cool to see. Tempered glass side panel. And then this panel actually opens up just like a door. It's on a hinge system, as you can see. And they do have a locking screw at the top, but if you remove that locking screw, you can just pull the panel up and it comes off. So it's easy to work inside the case. Back of the case gives you an idea of the dual compartment design. So motherboard mount here, we have a rear fan mounts. That rear fan mounts will support 120 or 140s. I didn't mention that both cases, the 6500D and 6500X, they will not ship with any fans. The only version is the RGB version, which will ship with fans, but no fans, which I would like to see a fan version for the high airflow version, just because a lot of people just want to buy a case that's ready to go out of the box. But no fans. But then you can see we actually have eight expansion slots. So technically this is a full tower. So we have eight expansion slot covers. Now there is no GPU mounting, vertical GPU mounting by default. They will sell a expansion kit that allows you to do that. But it's not by default. There's also this down here. There's this Velcro strap here that will allow you to sort of like organize all your cables, which is nice. Power supply is over on this side. Vertical mounting power supply, but it is full ATX, and there's a lot of room back there. So you can put in up to 220 millimeter long power supply. So that's going to support like the 1500 watt
big power supply.
Yeah. And then right here, you'll see that this is a little cover. There's actually a compartment behind there. So that compartment opens up as a thumb screw. And then you have two pull-out hard drive trays, these are plastic. So this is like the only plastic thing in the case. These supports either a single 2.5 inch or 3.5 inch drive. So two hard drives there, easy to access and go ahead and pull out. The back panel is all mesh. So it's going to be an all mesh back panel there, which we'll get to. So you can see completely all mesh there. And one thing that was nice is that the thumb screws that hold this mesh panel on, they actually have sort of like a washer here. So if you open and close your case a lot, you'll know that when you tighten those screws, it like rips the paint off the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this stops you from doing that. These are captive screws as well. So they don't, you know, you don't have to worry about losing them. And then, like I said, the feet are all metal, and the feet are actually, this is an entire metal piece right here. It's not just,
I like, remember that looking really cool at CES, like, and very heavy duty.
Yeah, it's very heavy duty. It is a heavy case. So that's the outside. Let's go to the inside. As Fast and the Furious is happening outside my house.
I hear that.
So looking inside, as far as motherboard support, you can do up to extended ATX. And one of the big things I was actually really surprised when they told us at CES is that this case will support the rear connection motherboard. So Asus, BTF, MSI Project Zero, you can see all the openings here. That's what they're for. So if, you know, this is very forward thinking, I assume because a lot of companies are making cases for that, like, I think that like in 2 years, that's going to be the normal thing. Maybe. Probably. I don't know. But you have all of those openings, and then you have cable routing up here, which does have the inserts, and then cable routing down here, which does not have the inserts. Now these inserts, the biggest pain when building in a case, I'm sure you've experienced it. I've experienced it multiple times, is that you're routing your cables, especially like your 24 pin or any big cable through these. And then this comes off, and then it's so hard
to get it lined back up. Yeah.
Yeah. To get it lined back up and get it back on. These, at least in my testing with this case, these do not come out. That was something they like really talked to us about at CES too. They've designed these rubber inserts to not fall out of the case, which is
awesome. I think they designed it with two types of rubber, like the outer portion is a harder, stiffer material while the little flanges are softer. Which is, it's like, oh, why didn't we think of that sooner?
Right? It's just like all this stuff. It's like, why didn't we think of it? So that's the mount there. And then this mount does get cut off, and it gives you the side mount here for cooling. So that's something we didn't get in the 680X. We didn't have any side mount cooling. Right. And obviously with cases that you want that nice front glass panel, that's the only way to get really good cooling into the system beyond the bottom, is to have the side mount cooling. So the side mount only supports 120 millimeter fans. So you can do three of those or radiators up to 360 millimeters. And this cooling bracket, I have it in its back position, but you can actually move it up. So if you're only installing fans or maybe not a radiator, you can move it up so it's more flush. It's not completely flush, but it does move it up closer to the, you know, to the front of your case for a better look if you wanted to go ahead and do that. And then you can see four cable routing holes on the side of the motherboard mounts. They have those same rubber inserts there as well. So great to see that. Lots of room for organizing and routing all your cables and all of that kind of stuff. Bottom of the case, completely ventilated. Also supports 3120s, 3140s, and radiators up to 360 millimeters. And you can see the motherboard tray is like lifted off a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you can install fans down here, and you don't have to worry about them like getting in the way of your motherboard or anything like that. Like you're good to go there. Now, if you did install like a thick radiator, you could possibly have, you know, some issues, but sure. When it comes to fans, you won't have any issues with that running into your motherboard or anything like that. Taking the backside panel off again, you can see that it is all ventilated there. And then the backside. So the backside is very much the same as the 680X. So there's that hard drive cage that we had with those two hard drive trays inside. And then we actually do get two more Removable hard drive mounts. Now these only support 2.5 inch drives. So in total, four hard drives, which isn't a lot when it comes to how big this case is.
Sure.
It would have been nice to see at least some more mounting options. Like I, you know, maybe I can mount these other places in the case. And you know, keep this, but like maybe sell some of these brackets or something for people who wanted to do that. I know like me, like I'm all NVMe for the most part. Like I know a lot of people are, but there are a lot of people who still have at least a bunch of 2.5 inch drives. So only having support for four, considering the size of this case.
Yeah.
You know,
there's definitely things they could do to him. Like the 680 had slots, like horizontal slots for 2.5 inch drives in the back. I remember they had like three or six or something like that, or maybe it was even more, but yeah, they had multiple options. Obviously this is a little different configuration, especially at the front.
Yeah, because you do lose a lot of space because you're
kind of got that flexibility there. Yeah,
one thing I really did like to see, and I'm really big on this now, is that all of the cabling in the case is white. Yep. So all of your connectors are white. So if you're really being like a purist when it comes to your build, you want everything to be white. All of your connection cables are all white too, which is great. And then you can see that side mounts. It has a single screw that allows you to, one, fully remove it from the case. So if you know, the front and the top aren't easily removed from the case. They don't have thumb screws that like allow you to take the cooling out. In my experience, I put fans in the front. It wasn't an issue. Like I didn't really run into any issue, but this side mount is a lot harder to access. So, you know, it's nice that you can fully remove it from the system, install your fans, and then put it back in. Yeah. So that is the inside. And then you can see my build. My build's really simple. Nothing crazy, obviously. Motherboard goes in, no problem. Drive. I just use a single 2.5 inch drive. Right there. Power supply, again, just goes right on the back there. I installed three fans in the front. As you can see, they're 120s, but they go in no problem. And as you can see, those new screws that I used just made the process so much easier, which is awesome. Graphics card support is up to 400 millimeters. So you can...
And put whatever you want in there.
If you have a normal size radiator on here on the front, you can only do up to 370, but even if you have fans in there, it's still 400. So lots of room, no problem there. Another cool thing that they have in this case is they have hooks. So you can see these little hooks here. These allow you to, they're specifically made for Corsair's cable that comes off of their fans, but I'm using like Thermaltake fans and like the single cable that comes off of those really goes into those hooks and allows you to easily, or, you know, route your cables, and you'll find these all throughout the case. Like you can see them down here as well. But they're all throughout the case, plenty of tie down points as well. So you have a lot of, just ways to organize things. The only thing that I didn't like, is that here's the bottom of my motherboard. And like, I just would have liked to see those rubber inserts there, just make it a cleaner look overall. That was really the only thing I didn't necessarily like. And again, me being me, it looks like a mess back here, but it's hidden, so it doesn't necessarily matter all that much.
That's fine.
You know, but yeah, I feel like if this was like actually my build, like you know, my full time build, I would have cleaned up things a lot more. But yeah, really easy to route everything. Everything goes through those cable routing holes and around the other side. I mean, look how clean that is.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah, super clean build. No, like I said, no issues with.
But you don't have a white SATA cable?
No, I don't. I need to get one, I guess.
Yeah, you need to get one.
Yeah, I don't have the white SATA cable, and then my extension cables are just white and black. Yeah.
What's that other US? Is that at the bottom on your motherboard?
This
other black? No, the other black connection.
That's for the controller for the fans.
The Thermaltake. Yep.
Yeah, the Thermaltake controller for the fans.
Gotcha.
Which uses a Molux connector, which we're not going to talk about that. But yeah, really clean build overall. If you guys want to see what it does look like with fans, and again, it does not ship with fans, but if you were to put fans in it, you know, that's what it's going to look like. You can see the inside there. Now, if you aren't installing stuff in the side mounts, you can kind of see through it because it's mesh. So it's something to consider. I think a lot of people will be decking, if they are getting the high airflow version, they probably will be decking it out. But if you're not getting the high airflow version, you're probably getting the 6500X, which this is all glass. So your intake's going to be over here and you're going to use it anyways, but it's something you might want to consider. You know what I mean? Yep. But overall, like, we're not going to go over cooling or anything like that, just because that's all dependent on what you put in it. We did put stuff in it if you want to look at it, but I mean, the cooling's going to be good just because it's a high airflow case. It's a big case. So yeah, I really liked it. I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's $199. So both the 6500 and 6500X are going to be $199. The 6500X RGB, I believe, will be $259. And again, that comes with three of their 120 millimeter fans and the control hub. Yeah, I mean, for what you're getting, I think that the price is fine. I would have liked a version, an airflow version that did come with the fans as well. We're not getting that, at least not right away. And yeah, the cooling mounts, like, we see this on a lot of cases, like a front cooling mount, top cooling mount, like, you can fully take it out and install your fans. Right. Here, you really couldn't do that easily. So that was another thing. And no vertical GPU mounting by default.
Right. So you got to get another bracket for that.
So you have to, yeah, because a lot of cases.
Does it swap in to the other PCI slot covers? Is that what they're doing?
I have a picture of it.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Let me.
Because it didn't look like, it looked like they had some vertical, like, ventilation next to those slots, but not like you would put a GPU in there.
Let me see if I can find
some guess of those. Pop out.
If I can, let's see. So it's going to look like that.
Okay, yeah. So it's taken the place of the.
Yeah, it's taken the place of those. So that's what it will look like. So, yeah. I mean, I like it. I think that I would have liked to seen vertical GPU mounting just like supported by default. But at the same time, like, so that vertical GPU mounts will give you like four slots to be able to do like a 4090. Yep. Just on size constraints, like, if you look at it, if we were to put, this would only give you two slots, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it's kind of give and take, right? Like, that's the issue. So when I vertically mounted my GPU in the 680X, there was just not a ton of room there for cooling. So I would always open
my up against the window. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd always open my window. So yeah. So it's kind of give and take, but I really like this case. I think it's a good case. I'm okay with the price. I really like the quality. You see, especially like the Li and Li's are good quality, I would say as well, but some of the, like the lower end brands, the knockoff brands, like, the quality isn't there. They kind of cut corners, and, you know, this is a really high quality case. It is going to be heavy, especially once you put all your hardware inside. It's a heavy case. So just keep that in mind. And again, it is a larger case too. So a lot of the dual compartment cases do really kind of like try to make the overall profile like a normal mid tower. And a lot of times you can't do a full size power supply. You have to do like SFX. This is wider too. So just keep that in mind. We have the dimensions, but it is a wider case too. So just keep that in mind too. But yeah, I liked it. Let's see what, you know, I'm interested to see some builds. Obviously our build is like, because we use the same hardware for each build, but I would really interested to see some like water cooling builds in this, some mods in this. I'm excited to see all that stuff. So yeah, definitely go ahead and check that review out. If you guys didn't know, we are giving away a Patriot Supersonic Rage Prime USB 3.2 Gen 2. That's so long of a product name.
What a name.
Less than 29 hours left. So it's like the last day for you guys to get your entry in. Super easy to enter this. The link is, of course, in the show notes. We're giving away a 1 terabyte version, so lots of storage for you guys. So get your entry in on that. And if I remember, because it's tomorrow and I have so much things to do, if I remember, we'll announce another contest either tomorrow. Actually, we'll announce it on Saturday, because tomorrow we have stuff. Yeah, we'll see. But we'll have another contest.
You got another one already.
Okay. I made a box of stuff that I have that I can just like give away to people. So we'll have another giveaway very soon if you don't win this one. But yeah, we're giving away that, and then we'll move to Casemont Friday. And this is one I think you might like, Ryan.
Well, let's see it.
So Fractal Design North, the black version, which has the darker panels.
Yep.
Water cooled with copper hard tubing. No?
I don't know about the copper. It looks cool. It gets tarnished. Like, unless you keep it super clean, that I hate how copper tubing looks when it has fingerprints on it.
Mm.
And the tarnish. Yeah. Like, if it was polished, I might like it. That color of... I know they're trying to get, like, a copper color, but it's, like, a weird pink.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I think it looks great. I mean, it's a pretty basic setup.
And they use that... I didn't realize that. They use the EK block that has the wood on it. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks nice. It's a nice build.
This is from Bernardo Mod Shop, which I don't think we've featured any of his stuff before. So. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty clean.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very clean.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's kind of hard because this case, inside of this case, is pretty small.
Yeah, it's pretty tight.
It's not all that large in there. And again, half of it is sort of cut off. Like, you don't get this. Yeah. Like, you
don't. That's not space inside that you're getting. It's not available to you, really.
So yeah, pretty cool. I like it. We have seen some similar builds like this in this case, but I like this one. It's just really nice and clean. So go ahead and check this out. Of course, we have our full section of Casemont Friday builds with a bunch of different builds. So if this is not your thing, I'm definitely, we have something you'd like. I can't imagine you go through the Casemont Friday section and not find anything. That'd be wild. So
that moves to
news. Not a ton of stuff going on this week, but the biggest thing is that we talked about it last week, that the Radeon RX 7900 GRE would possibly be coming to the United States. That happened. They had an official launch. Here. 549 came out yesterday officially.
Was it only yesterday?
The reviews came out the 26th.
Okay, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, I was like,
The reviews came out the 26th. I think it was like available to buy on the 27th.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of cool. It's kind of crazy that they have three SKUs in that 7900. You know, they have the 7900 XTX, they have a 7900 XT, and now they have the 7900 GRE. But they're kind of doing the NVIDIA thing. It's like, how many SKUs? Can we get in here?
How are we gonna get this?
Yeah, so $549, which isn't crazy.
I would have liked to see, like, just call it like the X, right? So then you have like the X, the XT, and the XTX.
This is
like
true.
You're just stacking on.
I think it, because what's the GRE stand for?
I know it was. I don't remember.
It was something. It's something that's like popular in like the Chinese, because it launched in the Chinese market. That's why.
Right.
Golden Rabbit Edition, I believe that's what it was called.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, and I is that for their new year, or is that for no? Because no, I don't know why they called it that. To be honest.
Right.
But in any case. Yeah, it's good to see it become available. A lot of people, when it did launch in the Chinese market initially, were like, oh, sucks that we're not getting it. But I assume they, you know, just like what I talked about last week, like, it's a good launch something in one market. If it's popular, we'll bring it to the rest. So makes sense. I might be getting one into review. So we'll see if I do. That'd be kind of cool. But we'll see if that actually comes through. But in any case, we have a 7900 GRE. You don't have to weirdly import it or do something crazy that wouldn't be worth it in the long run. You can go pick them up now. But because of that, the price of the Radeon RX 7700 XT went down as well. So you can pick these up for $419 for a 7700 XT, which is just awesome. So, yeah, because, you know, they bring that model at $549. The original price of the 7700 XT, I forget what it was, but it was just too close. It was way too close. They needed a bigger price gap. So this is down to $419. Again, coming into, like, if you think long term, coming into like end of summer, holiday season, there's a lot of options gonna be, and again, those Nvidia cards are gonna go down in price too, because we're not having anything come out.
Hopefully. Till,
you know, so it's gonna, and it's like, it allows them, I feel like it allows the market to become stable. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because you know that, you know, the whatever the 5000 series isn't coming to at least next year, right? So you know all the cards, there's nothing else new coming out, you know, so it allows the market to kind of stable and allows people to really, like, they don't have to like jump on a card or jump on a deal, like they know,
right? They can choose exactly the one, like wait another month and like save up that money to get the next level up without feeling like you're still gonna miss something because something new is gonna pop out.
Yeah, so really, really awesome to see prices continue to go down. You remember those? We saw it at CES in person, and there was a big thing when Starfield came out. The special edition graphics card in the special edition 7800X3D. Well, Starfield got the FSR3 update, and they decided to give away another set of this, which I don't know how many they made, but there's not a lot of these out there. They're giving one, this one away on Twitter or X, and they're giving another one away in their Discord. So jump on this if you can, because it is a really cool looking card. It is a really, really cool looking card. The CPU, you're just going to, and having these boxes, like the box that it comes with on display, that's, especially if you're like an actual Starfield fan, like that's,
I love the, like the blue, yellow and red fins on this one. You know, like on the other, you typically just get the red on the standard Radeon, but these with the extra colors looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it looks great. So pretty cool that's being given away. And moving on to gaming stuff, one of the best large format open battle games was Star Wars Battlefront. It's just such a fun game, so fun to play. Well, they're bringing it back. Not a new game, but Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection is coming back on March 14th. So it's going to give you the original Star Wars Battlefront and Star Wars Battlefront 2, which was Star Wars Battlefront 2. I spent so much time in that game. It's so much fun. And they'll both be available, like you get it as a pack available on Steam for $35. Did you ever play Battlefront or Battlefront 2?
I didn't. Man,
missed out. It was so much fun.
I think the only Star Wars game I really played was Rebel Assault. I mean, this is like back in the 90s, so
yeah. No, this game was so cool because it, like, all the big battles from the movies, like you could play sort of like in real time.
Right.
And it was sort of like Battlefield almost. It was like, how many player, remember when Battlefield was like 64 players?
Yeah.
And like that was like, oh man, this was like the same thing. It was like big battles and you could get in like the spaceships and like you could, it was really cool for the time. So it's cool to kind of trying to, I wouldn't say necessarily reviving it, but bringing it back together. And a lot of people saying that they're going to spin up some servers and stuff for people to play and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I mean, what's the point of bringing them back if you can't play it?
Right? Exactly, yeah. So they're going to be doing some of that. Before the ROG Ally, before the
MSI.
The MSI Claw, the other big competitor to the Steam Deck was the One X Player. We talked about, they have a bunch of different products, but their One X Player 2, the Pro version, just got an update for new hardware. So it's now going to have the Ryzen 7 8840U. This thing looks really nice as an alternative to any of those other mobile gaming devices. This thing looks really cool. Let me go to the actual... We don't have a link to this. I thought we did. But this thing looks, this thing does look like really awesome. There you go. Here we go. $949. Yeah.
And it has the removable, like the Switch. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Just like the Switch and the Lenovo version. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a really cool device. I think, like, you know, we see all these, like, because we've been covering a lot of this mobile gaming stuff. Like, we see all of these companies, you know, but the One X Player was, like, they've been around for a while. And you can get it in white, too, if you don't like the sort of darker color. But yeah. Sweet. But, yeah, that's available now. $949 for the 32 gigabyte plus 1 terabyte. So, yeah, pretty cool. And then finally, Switch 2. We've been covering a lot of Switch 2 stuff. Mm-hmm. New report says it's set to release in March 2025. Seems like so far away. But yeah, March 2025 for the Switch 2. This is a render that somebody, you know, that somebody made. Do you think they'll go more of like this sort of the, like real, like this really looks like a PC device, this sort of imagining of it
sort of
do you think they'll keep it the same size? Do you think they'll
I think we'll get a little bigger, like a bigger screen, which will then translate to maybe a little bigger controllers.
Okay.
I know that was always the thing that I hated about it, like trying to those play with the little small Joy-Con, like if you took them off and had two player, not really that great. But do you think
they would have a big version and then a really like a small version that you put in your pocket?
But like, why? Like the Switch is the whole thing with the Switch is like it switches between modes, like you dock it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Like, what's you're right.
Otherwise, you're kind of like the Wii. What was the Wii U?
Yeah,
right? It had the controller with the screen, and then it had the console itself too, right?
Yeah. Who knows? But I like I said, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily like excited or anything like that. I haven't really been excited about a console in a while, just because I play mainly PC and I don't I don't play games like on the go or anything like that. So yeah, old man in the chat says, "It'd be interested in what upscaling Switch 2 will use for high resolution games." Yeah. It'd be interesting to see who gets that contract. Is it going to be probably AMD? Probably AMD. Like, that's kind of what to think about it. Talking about that, there's a couple things that we didn't cover this week. One is that NVIDIA did release a beta version of their... Like, we finally replaced the NVIDIA control panel.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can bring this up.
I have not tried it out yet, but
Taltosh in our Discord actually posted this. But yeah, a new NVIDIA app. So
you don't have to sign in, right?
Yeah, you don't have to sign in. So that I remember when they first did that.
It was
you know, there's like a war going on between you have to log in to the software. But yeah, new GPU control center, everything's unified within one app. Because that NVIDIA controls panel looks like it's from Windows 98 times. It's in beta right now. You can download it and everything. Have you tried this at all? Probably not.
No.
Ryan doesn't update anything. So,
you know what? I did update a bunch of software. I updated my Wavelink and my Stream Deck. Like it, every time I logged in and started my machine for the last 6 to 9 months, I've been getting pop-ups, and I was like, all right,
isn't it funny? Isn't it funny? You'll like let that stuff go. Like, you'll
Because I'm like, I got a million audio inputs and stuff, and I'm like, as soon as I update this, so I spent like 10 minutes screenshotting and documenting.
Oh, wait, it doesn't save your stuff?
No, it does, but like there was an update in Wavelink. It was like this update may cause you to lose some of these
that's
settings.
That's the worst.
So I
remember when I would like I'd be like when I built my new PC, like I had to take pictures just in case, like to take pictures of all my settings in like Premiere and all these other programs just to make sure. Yeah. And now all that stuff carries over like completely, but
usually.
Remember when like that wasn't the case? Like there was nothing carried over. So when you reinstalled Windows or whatever, you lost all your settings.
I forgot to back up my favorites.
You lost all your settings, not only within like apps you use, but like within games too. So you had like your resolution, all your everything was gone.
Files for it.
Yeah,
your profiles.
Yeah, everything was just gone. But yeah, that's pretty cool to see. Also, talking about NVIDIA, I know we don't cover this stuff, but like their stock price just went crazy. Mm-hmm. They're now the most, they're the biggest company in the world right now. Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. Which is wild, which is crazy, but it all makes sense because it all has to do with AI. Everybody's using AI, and what powers AI is NVIDIA GPUs, right? Yep. That's what's powering all this stuff. So
I heard like, OpenAI was trying to get some funding for creating their own AI chips as well. And they were going for like trillions of dollars is what they were looking for.
Well, that's the future. That I mean, think about everything has AI built in. And I know most of you guys listening know this, but I mean, in general, when you make that AI request, that's going out to a server. They're doing the crunching, and then it's coming back to you. Any AI thing is doing that for the most part, right? So that's powering everything. And like a lot of, I mean, that's I mean, here's like NVIDIA's like consumer graphics card business, and like the AI business is like
yeah, which is like
yeah,
if it keeps up going that way, they'll stop making GPUs and you'll just like connect to a, you know.
Well, the thing that I worry the thing that I worry about is that while their other businesses were kind of I mean GPU, like consumer GPUs have always been lower as far as like how much money they bring in for NVIDIA, but like the other stuff was, you know, a little bit higher, right? But with this, all this AI stuff, it's making them so much money, and like the demand is there. And what I worry is like, okay, we need all of the engineers on the AI side, the people working on the actual consumer GPUs, the teams are going to get smaller, or it's not going to be as important. Yeah. They're not going to care as much about the gamer or the consumer. So, you know, you're going to get those shitty things that we've seen in the past from, you know, companies and them not caring. And you know, I know these days, like, nope, like next GPU launch, oh, it's not, we're not happy, we wanted this, whatever. There's always going to be people like that, but you don't want to see the product get worse because the other things are obviously more important. That's the thing I worry about with that kind of switch. Those are the two NVIDIA things that I did want to talk about. We will go to what we have coming up next week. And sadly, I can't tell you about it because they're launch products. So, but one will be a case. One will be a new mouse, which I'm using. Wait, let's see. Can you see it? It's, that's all I can show you. but it's a mouse that I've been using for the past couple of weeks. So that's actually coming out tomorrow. So
cool.
You can check that on the site tomorrow. And then next week we have a new case review that's coming out as well. And then from there, question of the week. You're going to have to answer this one, Ryan.
That's fine.
So the question this week is, what is the best advice you can give somebody for their first time PC build?
I would say if you can get a friend or someone that has done it in the past to assist you with it, not do it for you, but be there as like a guiding hand. Like that's probably it's almost cheating. Right. So I guess if you take that option away,
that's a great.
Right. Yeah. I think
I remember when, not to go off on a tangent, but I remember when way back in the day, my parents bought me like the first family PC and like, it wasn't a family friend, but it was like somebody that was like lived in our area, had like a computer shop, and that's like where we bought it from. And like, I went in and like watched it kind of, they didn't really help him, but like, I kind of just like hovered and like watched him build it, you know? So it's kind of like, kind of just like helped me understand everything kind of, right. you know? Right. So I think a lot of people do that. Like they know the guy who's like the computer guy and whole, you know, you order the parts. I've done that with friends too. Like they order the parts, I come over and help them build it and kind of show them. And yep. yeah.
Yeah. And that gives them a little more comfort if they do run into something. Like you're like, oh, hey, remember when we put that fan, you know, like, oh, hey, this fan isn't spinning. What could be doing that? Okay. Well, remember when we plugged those into that controller or the motherboard, just like find that cable and trace it. Maybe it came undone or something. Right.
Yeah.
So they have a little familiarity with it. Yeah. That's probably mine is like just doing that. The other one is like set aside enough time to do it because I was just talking to someone at work about this where he's trying to do a build like in the evenings and he's got time and it's just like taking longer than he expected. And like, I've been guilty of this even like years into building PCs. You're like, oh, this is only taking me like an hour or two. And it's like, there's happened to you recently, all my no. day. What?
This when? Happened to you recently.
When?
When you freaked out about your upgrade of your CPU.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But the reason that's so crappy of a situation is because it was hard tubing liquid cooling and like you have to go through so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could have thrown just a regular CPU cooler on, but it was like more complex than just standard components.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my answer to that question is a little,
it's got a good answer too.
Is a little different. It's okay. my thought process with this was like thinking about the actual build, and my answer would be figure out the price range, figure out how much you want to spend, because that's going to dictate your components. So
yeah,
that would be my advice is like, hey, like I'm going to spend $1,500 on this, and then you can kind of part out what you want. Okay. I think that's kind of
related to that. I'd say, yeah, use PC Part Picker. Like if yeah, you set or, your yeah. budget, like you, it's got a running total. So if you need to adjust on the fly, go back to that, you know, memory. And
because a lot of people,
32 gigs do 16, and
a lot of people be like, oh yeah, that 4090, blah blah blah. But then like their budget is $1,500. Like the GPU is more than that. So figure out your budget and then figure out what fits within that budget. And you with PC Part Picker, you know, you can pick like, okay, do I want the better GPU or do I want NVMe storage or do you know what I mean? Or do I,
yep.
you know, want this or do I want, you know, instead of 32 gigs of RAM, how much is 64? Like you can, that was my kind of thing. I really like yours though. Old man in the chat said, first time builders should watch how to videos on YouTube. They're very helpful. Yeah. I think we should make, we haven't made.
I was like, maybe we should make.
Some yeah. We need to make some, what do they call that? Evergreen content for the yes. site and for YouTube and stuff. Once we get past all these launches, because that's what all my energy is going into currently.
I mean, it should be pretty easy to make a how to install an AMD AM5 processor. You know what I mean? Like just like
yeah,
5 minute videos on all sorts.
I know.
Of
I need to. I need to start making the list of that stuff because that's the good stuff. So yeah, if anybody has any suggestions on that stuff or stuff you might be like looking for us to do, I was gonna run a poll on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But I did not of like what people want to see. But in any case, we are doing some different stuff. Like I said, I'm doing a build video coming up. We're doing some other stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much it for the podcast. Of course, we talk about anything tech related. Did you do anything tech related or anything like that or check anything out? Watch anything?
I mean, I've been using some of my tech. Like I was using this Lenovo battery today to nice. Charge up a second device because I didn't want to get out. Like another charger and cables. I was like, oh, this is sitting on my table. I'm going to
charge it. Yeah, they are convenient. Portable batteries are, yeah. Everybody should have one. And a lot with most devices coming type C, like, you know, the iPhone's type C now, like yes. everything's type C. Nice. So like, even like, say like this mouse, you know, like I can charge this, you know, via type C yep. if I don't, you know, have it available. So yeah, portable battery is awesome. I haven't done anything tech related besides working on reviews and things like that. Mm-hmm. A lot more cool stuff coming. Like I said, I keep on saying that, but it's just got to grind through it and get it
still
all
still considering getting that Insta 360.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah.
There's like one or two in store in town. And then I looked again and like Best Buy's like, yeah, yeah. If you order it today, it'll be here in a week. And I was like,
that's yeah. That's yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's another thing I want to talk about with game, because we are going to be gaming. Of course, we're going to have our gaming stream, which is on Twitch. I've been seeing so much stuff on Helldivers 2.
Yeah.
I really want to get it. We have to play it. We both have to get it, though, because you have to play together. Would you consider getting it?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yes.
So if we get it this week, we'll play it next week. Are you gonna be too busy next week because you're going away?
Yeah.
So I have to wait till you get back from vacation.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
I don't know, but yeah, Helldivers looks awesome, and I think that somebody said this. I saw this on Instagram. Somebody said that style of game is going to become super popular. So just like, remember Battle Royale, you know, it was,
I mean, I feel like it's not that, is it really that unique of a game style? It's just like,
but it's
squad.
Replace Helldivers with Star Wars, replace it with some other popular game, Halo. Replace it with Halo, right? So you're doing Halo missions in that type of style. It's I think it's because it's easily digestible, meaning that like the missions are like 20 minutes. You can go through. It's very team-based. Like, I think that you're going to see a lot of, I wouldn't necessarily call them copycat, but kind of like that type of style. Because again, like, think about Battle Royale. It started with H1Z1, and then PUBG was a little bit more polished. Then we had Fortnite, and that was like crazy. And now we have Apex and all the other ones. Like, that play style was very, very popular. And I think this play style I think it's going to become, you know, again, this is like, somebody said this and I agree. It's not my unique thought, but you know, replace Helldivers with any really, like even like a Marvels or a, you know, like with that IP, put that into the same game style, it would be a really good game in my opinion.
I guess I need to just look closer into it.
Old man in the chat said he ordered a new keyboard, VXV Retro 75. Let's see what that looks like. Or XVX Retro. XVX,
yeah.
Oh, nice. That's sort of...
Oh, is it like the one we saw at CES with the screen across it?
I think it's this one. Hold on. Actually, wait. I mean, is it the retro gray? Hold on. I guess I have to bring up on Amazon.
He says Twitter was upset they were killing bugs in Helldivers 2. Oh, that's cool.
That's really cool. Look at the little screen up top.
Mm-hmm.
That is super cool. That's like. Yeah, that's a nice looking keyboard. Oh, that's cool. You can put a little GIF there.
He said, yeah, the retro gray. Sort of got
nice.
Hot swappable.
Yeah. Very cool.
How much is that?
$78.99. Not expensive.
Nice.
Yeah, so really cool. That's awesome, old man. Glad you picked that up. That's one fun thing, too, now is like, with keyboards, I have so many keyboards, and like, it's so nice to like switch one out when you're like not feeling another one. Yeah, so that's really cool. So anyways, guys, we are going to be gaming, like I said, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan, of course, has that stream up. We're going to be playing some Apex. Maybe in a couple of weeks, we'll get on the Helldivers and see what it's all about. So we will be over there. Thanks, everybody, for coming out, and we will see everybody next week.